Let's give them some love again. That was Unity of Washington, D.C.'s choir with the Negro National Anthem. Very hard song to sing, and they did a fabulous job, so thank you. And let's give some kudos to our trio for bringing that wonderful message. Yes, this is a time for us to remember, to celebrate and remember African-American history and the culture and the things that African-Americans have contributed to this nation, you know? So, yes. And all of the sacrifices that our ancestors have made so that we could sit here today, you know, in relative freedom, and I say relative, but but for the most part in relative freedom and opportunity for us to explore. And, you know, there are people who weren't able to do that, what, not even 100 years ago, maybe 50 years ago, or maybe a little longer. But still, we want to acknowledge and celebrate that history. You know, I don't understand the need to try to erase history, because history is history. Whatever happened, happened. There's no need to try to erase it, because it is what it is. And if any type of healing is to take place, then, you know, you never run from the things that you need to heal, because they will just follow you or go deeper and deeper. So it's time for us to kind of come together. And what we're seeing during this time, not just in Black History Month, but at this time in general, there's so much for our nation to heal. And, you know, there's a scripture that says, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. And so we're having a sacred opportunity, really, to see all of the things where we as a nation have missed the boat a little bit. Okay? When we listen to the words, whether they are the preamble to the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence or any of those things, and we listen to those words, it causes us to say, have we really lived up to it? Have we really embodied these words, this teaching? And for the most part, you know, we thought America was doing that. And what we get to see during this day and age is that we've missed the boat on quite a bit. And so people are coming together because there are certain people who are waking up. Some of us have been awake for a long time because we've had to experience and live a certain aspect of being an American, whether it's an African American, a Black American, whatever you want, a person of color. We've had to live a certain experience in this nation. But others are now waking up to say, well, wait a minute. I thought it was justice and liberty and freedom for all, equality for all. And so people are now having to understand that we need to embody our words. We have to embody our beliefs and the truth that we say who we are. We have to start acting and believing and demonstrating. So I think it's a fabulous time for us to be alive. And so I want to thank the choir for bringing that wonderful rendition so that we all can remember, you know, lift our voices. This is a time for everyone, not just African Americans or people of color. Everybody better lift their voice. Because we are what? We're all in this together. Together. So it's an exciting time. And we're going to each do our part. But let me get to the message at hand this morning. And I was thinking, I said, it's finally here. I've been doing a series on running with the horses. And this is part 6, titled Your Next Level of Greatness. And in this series, I was trying to prepare us all for this new year, following the Chinese New Year, which signifies that it is the year of the fire horse. And I've talked about that. So those of you who are just tuning in, and those, by the way, welcome to those of you who are with us this morning via the internet. We're glad to have you. But if you're just tuning in for the first time, you can always go on our channel, YouTube, and catch up with the other five messages. But this is the time for the fire horse, which is ushered in, and it was finally here, finally ushered in on February 17th. So we had the new year, our regular Gregorian chant calendar new year, January 1st. But this new year, the Chinese new year, the year of the fire horse, began on February 17th. Now, there were a couple of other things that are interesting that happened on February 17th as well, because along with the start of the fire horse, February 17th was also the final and last day of Mardi Gras, or what's called Fat Tuesday, which is the day before we enter into and celebrate what? The Lenten season, which is the Christian time period of 40 days before Easter. And so since Lent starts 40 days before, and it's a time where we fast and we, you know, pray and we meditate and we release. So on Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras, the last day, it's a big celebration. We're going to eat everything we can think of and before we have to move into this time of release and letting go. So the 17th was Mardi Gras, the final day of Mardi Gras. Also on February 17th, it also happened to be the start of Ramadan. And Ramadan, of course, is the Islamic holy period and holy time of prayer and fasting and making sure that they are reflecting upon spiritual ideals and teachings. So it's like, wow, all of those things have converged. You had Mardi Gras, you had the fire horse, but also on February 17th, there was the annual solar eclipse. Now, we always have lots of eclipses, but this was a solar eclipse that happened on February 17th. And what it didn't fully cover, the moon didn't fully cover the sun. It left just a little what they call a glowing ring of fire around the sun, if we were able to observe it. And I thought, okay, Lord, you must be trying to give us a little message, because now we have that fire ring around the solar eclipse that happened on February 17th. And I'm thinking that all of these events, whether they were physical events with what's happening out in the heavens, or whether they are spiritual events, you know, holidays, Ramadan, leading into the Lenten series, whatever, all of these things occurring on the same exact day is a rare occurrence. It's rare that all these things would converge together. And so I was thinking something is afoot. Something is happening, right? Something is about, I put to myself as I was meditating and praying, I said, something is about to move heaven on earth, or move heaven and earth, as they say. Or I like to say heaven on earth, or maybe even moving heaven into what? Into earth. Something is happening, that a higher order of the day is breaking forth into our consciousness, and that there's something is shifting all of our earthly experiences. The fact that we would have one day that had all of these things, religious holidays, things happening in the heavens. And so I'm thinking that, wow, this is a time for us to pay attention. Sometimes we get signs. The Bible talks about what? Signs and wonders. That there are signs happening, that we should wake up and pay attention. And because things are moving with this fire horse here at lightning speed, everything seems to be speed. I don't know about you, but do you feel that your life is speeding up and things are happening and we're trying to keep up with everything? And it's like, oh, and part of that, of course, is the design of this current administration. Just keep us hopping one thing after the other. If you're following with what's happening, you're trying to keep up. He did what now? What happened? Who? What was going on? We're just like here. But that's all by design. In addition to what's happening, the energy on the planet is speeding up as well. Right? And so we're trying to just gain our footing. And because things are moving at lightning speed, we don't have any time for us to dilly-dally. There's no time for dilly-dallying. And when I was writing, I said, how do you spell dilly-dallying? So I did my best, but I wrote down that there's no time for us to really dilly-dally about what our part is. What our part is to play during this time, or what is ours to do. Because if you're paying attention to your life, I'm sure you have seen signs and wonders in your own life that something is calling you forth, that some type of change is needing to happen in your life and in your affairs, that something is going on, and that you must, it's time for you to be about it, just to do what is yours to do. We can't dilly-dally anymore, because remember, when we talked about the fire horse is going to go. And I read a quote that said, this is about, you know, the choice to move. Movement is going to happen. And why not do it consciously and choose? Because even if you do not choose, you will be, the choice will be made for you. And so who wants to go into something kicking and screaming and dragging and holding on? No. Let's be participants, because everything's about moving and changing. So no dilly-dallying. And we need to read the signs and the wonders of our own life. What is God saying to us? What is your life trying to tell you about what's needed in your life to move you to this next level of being an expression? Because this is a powerful time. It's a powerful time in our human experience at this point in time. And each of us, whether we are aware of it or not, we have elected on a soul level to be here at this time. We've elected to be here at this time. And hard as it may be for us to believe that we also not only elected to be, but that we have a role to play. Every single person on the planet has a role to play in what will be coming forth, what will be birth, what will be the next level, the next situation, the next quality of life on the planet. And so, you know, we're playing our part in this great awakening that's happening, the great transformation. You know, there are always movements that happen in history and in time that signify some great shift to change, whether it was a revolution, it could be the American Revolution or the Civil War or something that happened, or, you know, the first man on the moon or Sputnik, whatever. There's something that happens that moves us along the evolutionary path. And so we're in one of these times right now, and it's not a time to play small. The time for playing small is over. The time for you to hide in your little corner and say, well, this doesn't apply to me, is over, because people are recognizing, well, it may come to, it was happening to them. I didn't have to worry about it because it was happening to who? To them. But now it's like, wait a minute, it's happening to me. See, we can't play small anymore. Everybody has a part to play. We must lift our voices. We must sing. We must speak out against injustice. We must participate in what is happening on this planet and in this country. So this is not a time for us to shrink and try to find a corner. But we must step into the highest version of who we are. This is our time to do that. It's a leap that is taking place, that each of us has to take place into our own individual next level of greatness. We've got to take that leap, and we have to do our part and play the part that we've come here to play. And everybody has a part. If it's, you know, if you're a mother, well, maybe it's the best mother you could be. Whatever your part is, play it now. And not only play at it, we have to embody it. We got to be about it. Because you can no longer play at it, you must be it. So this is a really powerful time. Now, I don't pretend to know exactly what's going on, but I do know that a shift is happening. And major changes are taking place and are showing up everywhere, right? So there are changes that are happening in the heavens. There are changes that are happening within the stars. There are changes that are happening on Earth, whether it's Mother Earth doing her thing, and she's going to get ready to show us a whole bunch of change if we don't watch it in a minute. But there are changes happening on the Earth. There are changes that are happening in nature. You know, it's snowing in places where it shouldn't be snowing, and it's warm in places where it should be cold. There's stuff happening, whether it's nature or happening, shifts are taking place in systems, whether they are social systems or educational systems or environment systems. But anyway, it's happening everywhere and what? On every level. Okay? So we need to read the signs and the wonders. Let us not stick our head in the sand and say we have no idea what's going on. Change is afoot. And we have to be ready and prepared to play our part and to be the highest versions of who we have come here to be. I heard a quote yesterday that said, oh, yes, I am everything that I believe myself to be. I was like, wow, that's a powerful one. I'm everything that I believe myself to be. Stepping into that, I am all of that. So we've got to step into all of that because it's happening. So I was scrolling on YouTube and I came across another special happening that took place on February 20th. Now we know the 17th I was aware of. I was waiting for the fire horse energy to be ushered in. But on the 20th, some special happenings happened. Hold on a second. Yeah. Spirit said, clear your throat and get it ready. So, on February 20th, there was something called a Saturn-Neptune conjunction. Now, I had no idea what that was because I don't profess to know anything really about astrology. But I'm doing a lot of reading to find out what's going on with the energies and what's happening on the earth. So I'm coming across all kinds of things, right, to help explain what's taking place. And so this thing, this Saturn-Neptune conjunction, happened on February 20th. Now, while I'm not an expert in astrology, I do know that some 3,000 years ago, there were wise men from the East who saw a bright star in the sky and in the heavens. And that star told them that something tremendous and powerful and amazing was about to happen. It was something that was going to have an impact upon the earth and the world and the people at that time. So these wise men decided that they would follow that star. They would see what was happening in the heavens, right? And so they did indeed follow the star until they came upon what? The birth of a babe. And they saw and witnessed the birth of Jesus, or the onset of Christ consciousness coming upon the earth. And so they came, and they came bearing gifts or whatever. So I know that there are things that happen that give us signs and wonders for those of us who may be attuned. Now, I look at the stars. That's why I like to go to Sedona, because it's so dark and they don't allow a lot of bright light. So you can see the stars. And my favorite thing, I watch and I see, I count the shooting stars that I can see. But to actually look up into the heavens and see all those stars, that makes me, I just have to go, God, ooh, how wonderful. How wonderful. We are a part of something grander and greater than just our little lives right here, when we get to see the expanse of the heavens, right? And so I said, I don't know what's going on astrological, but there was something about this Saturn-Neptune conjunction. So here's what it said. I came across the scroll of that, and let's see. I'm going to get to it. Ah, take the glasses off. And so this was written about that day, the Saturn-Neptune conjunction. Today, Saturn and Neptune met at 0 degrees of Aries for the first time in 6,000 years. At the degree of pure potential. So when I read that, I said, okay, let me see if I can figure out what's going on. Saturn and Neptune met at 0 degrees. And remember, we talked about zero representing what it says, pure, the degree of pure potential. That we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But when you get to 10, you add that zero. That's adding the potential, the possibility. You can add anything else. Once you get to 10, you can increase to 10, 11, or whatever. But zero is that point of pure potential, right? And so Aries is the first sign in the zodiac. So for the first time, that means this is the first time it happened, even since Jesus supposedly walked the earth 3,000 years ago. This hadn't happened for what? 6,000 years. Okay, so the astronomers were able to figure out when that comes around. And it's at the degree of pure potential.
Now I said, now whatever is happening, this conjunction is letting us know that we are standing at the place of pure potential. That the God energy that created the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything else in the universe at that creative point is also right here, right now within us as what? Pure potential. That means we have the potential to do whatever is ours to do. And not only the potential to do it, but we're actually being called to live it, to embody it, to do it, right? Because everything is set at this 0 degrees, this pure potential point, right? And then it says, this is a powerful initiation, the birth of a new era, and the moment we begin to make the dream real. So what is happening at this particular point, when that thing conjunct that hadn't done it in 6,000 years, at the point of 0 degrees, at the start of pure potential, God energy, God potential, God life is present to remind us right here, right now. But it's not just potential, because this second paragraph says that it's a powerful initiation. It's the start, right, that's come to us. It's the birth of a new era. Now, an era in biblical times or whatever is about 2,000 years, okay, not just the era of the, it's about 2,000 years. Well, an age is 2,000 years. So this is signifying the birth of what? Of a new era. And the moment we begin to make the dream real. See, we've been dreaming. We've been asleep. And I don't care what they say, being woke is a good thing. We've been asleep. We've been dreaming. Everybody, have you got dreams about what you'd like your life to be? Dreaming about how you think things could unfold for you or for me. And what this is saying, the time for dreaming is over. It is time to actualize the dream, to make the dream real. What are you dreaming about? What are you hoping about? We used to say in Unity that, you know, we wanted to create a world that works for all. This is the time that we are in right now to begin to make this dream real, to create a world that works for everybody. And what's happening is we have to see that the world we are inhabiting is what? Crumbling, falling apart, right? But it's a powerful initiation, which means it's some kind of a beginning. It's the birth that's happening. And we all know that birth is a beautiful process, but it can be ugly and painful, right? Even in the midst of all of its beauty. So we're getting the witness that we are birthing something new upon this earth, a new way of being with one another. Everything is falling apart. We're seeing that, wait a minute, it's not these words to our constitution or our declaration, all these words, we're not living them. We're not embodying them. So it's falling apart. And we're like, we're making a choice. Do we want to? And we see people. I've looked at some of the things on TV where they have old middle class, you know, Caucasian ladies who are out in the streets demonstrating because somebody's trying to take their neighbor. They're waking up to say, this is wrong. Right? And so we're birthing. Well, how do we be? It's got to all fall apart. But now we have to create what we want. So once all this falls apart, and it may take a while because it's in process, but what do we want the world to look at? See, the world order is shifting and changing. The United States is no longer going to be the number one kingpin. It's falling apart. That image is gone. But a new world order has to come together where people are coming together to stand up for what? For everybody. We're beginning to see that, you know, the depravity, the degree to which we have stood on immorality and depravity, right? I was thinking the other day, all these different countries in Europe, and there was another scroll I saw where all the heads and leaders and bigwigs in other countries in Europe that have participated in the Epstein files, those people are being fired, they're being, you know, removed from office, all of that. What are we doing in this nation? Covering it up, keeping it at bay, holding on to try to keep things down, but it's time has come, right? Everything that is in the dark is now coming to light. We're seeing the ugliness. But that's okay, because it's giving us the chance to do what? Think about, well, what do we want to create? A world that works for everybody, where everybody is safe. Women and children are safe. Where everybody has, there's enough food on this planet to feed everybody. There's enough materials to give everybody a home. There is enough for everybody. So this new world order, we have to see how low we can go before we say this is not what we want to create. And so what's coming in, it ain't been here for 6,000 years, but the time is now, right? It says to make this dream, to make the dream real, to take the potential for who we could be as a species on this planet and make that potential a reality and to reach the highest level of what we can be, right? No more dreaming and thinking. So it says this is a powerful initiation, the birth of a new era. And the moment we begin to make the dream real, as old structures collapse, we are not simply witnessing endings. We are standing at the threshold of what comes next. See, we're focusing on trying, we're so concerned with what we're losing, and we're trying to, one group is trying to go back. They want to go back to when they thought America was great, and they can't pinpoint when that was, but we have an idea of when they thought that was, right? And then we have those of us who know that things have shifted so far down and we want to get back to the way, we want to get back to, you know, our democracy, we want to get back to living, but that we're not going back there either, because we're getting to see that that wasn't so great, right? So there is no going back, which means we have to do what? Go forward. There's a new world order. And so now how do we want to create the world, our individual world, as well as the other world that we want to live in, right? And so after old structures collapse, and they are collapsing, we're not simply witnessing endings. Because for every ending, there is also what? A beginning. So we don't want to focus on, oh my God, that's ended now, and that, Lord, that's okay. We need to focus our energy and harness our energy to see, what do we want to create? What can we build? What's new? What can we do? How can we take this to another level of greatness? We ain't going back. Our democracy is a great thing, but we can see right now it's got some holes in it. We got to shore up some things. And we got to have what? Everybody's buy-in. This is what's happening. We will be creating something new with everybody buying into it. This is the world order that we want to see. And not just in this nation. It's going to happen. It's happening all over, right? The meek are inheriting the earth. Everybody's going to have a voice. Everybody's going to have a part to play. We're going to create a new heaven upon this earth. It's happening, right? So that's okay. We are standing at the threshold of what comes next. It's not clear, but we will figure that out together. And this once-in-a-lifetime conjunction, I said this is more than a lifetime. If it happened 6,000 years ago, this is way beyond my lifetime. But this once-in-a-lifetime conjunction will shape the future reality we are stepping into. And what that says to me is we're going to shape the future reality. We're the ones. We're the ones what? That we've been waiting for, right? We're the ones. We're going to do this. And then it says, you chose to be here for these times. We did. Your soul planted seeds within you, knowing that there would come a moment when you would be called to lead, to create, to embody change. That moment is now. So there's something in everybody's soul that is calling you either to create or to lead, but to certainly embody the things that you desire, to embody your beliefs, to embody a higher vision for what we can be, This is what's been planted in us. This is ours to do at this time. And it says the moment is now, because we feel it. I don't know if anyone here does not feel that things are just falling apart. We are witnessing it. But it's a good thing, right? Change, transformation, it's a good thing. Then it says, Saturn and Neptune ask us to move beyond wishing for a better world and into living it, to embody our beliefs, our spirituality, our purpose, and to take grounded action to bring them into form. A new era starts here. I love that, right? It's asking us to, instead of wishing, to move beyond wishing for a better world, to what? Live in a better world. Live it. Create it. Be it. We're the ones. Stop thinking the government and who else. No, 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 no. We're going to do that, and that's what we see, right? Little old ladies who, you know, are out there in the streets saying, well, I guess this is mine to do. This is mine to create. Let me stand up and do what I can, right? So this is what, a new era starts here. And so we always talk in unity about being, you know, truth students and all of this, but the time to talk about truth is over. This time is calling for us to be about the truth, to be the truth, right? to be the light, to be the light of the world. I read a Rumi quote that said, if there's darkness all around you, look again, because you just may be the light. I love that. Yeah, stuff is happening, but look around, because look again, because you just may be the light. And we are the light that lights up this world. So we've got a work to do, and the time for us to do it is now, to make the dream a reality. Stop dreaming and be it. You know, speak the truth. Now, I told you a couple of weeks ago about a dream that I had, speaking of dreaming, making the dream a reality. I don't know if you remember, it was in one of my talks, I told you it was a crazy little dream that I had. And our beloved Eleanor, who moved to Williamsburg, and hey, Eleanor, if you're watching, but she decided that she had been doing some dream work and asking ChatGPT to interpret some of her dreams. So she decided she was going to record my dream and ask Chat what my dream meant. So she was asking Chat, and I'm going to tell you, all I could say when I read it all was, wow, this Chat thing and AI is scary stuff. I'm going to just say you that. Okay? So I thought my dream, if I told you, remember, I said I thought it was about current events, that I was disturbed about what was happening and you know, all the people, what ICE was doing and this administration to vilify and be violent and, you know, vilify and dehumanize people. And so I was thinking about all of that and that I needed, you know, people now need papers. You got to walk around with papers to prove who you are and that you're a citizen. And I thought, what kind of craziness? So anyway, I thought the dream was about that, right? But ChatGPT had some other things to say. So do you mind if I read you what it said? So she put the dream, interpreted the dream into, anyway, she says, Dear Reverend Sylvie, what a beautiful message this morning. Thank you. I've been working with Chat on dream interpretation, which often go deep into spiritual territory. Dreams often operate on several levels, I have found. What is going on in our daily lives, but also at a much deeper level. I put your dream into Chat and asked for a spiritual interpretation and came up with the following. She's now telling Chat the dream, most of it that is correct. She says, Reverend Sylvia had a dream that she was entering the country and handed her passport to an officer who told her to go to another line, line 6. So she went, and the lady there took her passport, nodded to her, and then packed the passport and walked away. She left. So Sylvia went back to the first officer and said, that lady that you sent me to took my passport and left. You remember this? And took my passport and left. And he said, "What lady? I never told you about any lady." So then Sylvia went back to the place where the lady had been and asked her colleagues, "Well, where did the lady go?" "She took my passport. I have no papers." And the colleagues said, "What lady? We don't know who you're talking about." And then she woke up, she was so upset, she actually sprang from the bed to check that she had her passport and it was still valid. Dream interpretation, Veer. It must mean more than just current events, right? Now that's her asking Chat, "This must be more." And so Chat then says, "Oh yes. This is much more than current events. This is a classic liminal authority dream." Now, first I had to go look up Ver when she put Ver liminal. I had to look up that word. And then I'm like, classic liminal? What is liminal authority dream? So I went and I looked it up. I don't know if I have it here, but basically it means a in-between state. A liminal dream or a liminal condition is a position where you're not here, you're not there, you're sort of in between, right? And so this dream is a classic in-between state, a liminal thing. And he said, Chat says, "And it's exquisitely constructed." My dream was exquisitely constructed. "Let's walk it through slowly because every element is doing real symbolic work. The passport, right? I come to a country and I'm in, trying to get back into my country, whatever. The passport." Chat says, "A passport is identity plus legitimacy plus permission to cross thresholds." You get that? Because when you have a passport, it's symbolic of your what? Identity. Your legitimate being a what? Citizen, even though they're trying to change all that now, but anyway. And your ability to cross thresholds. I need my passport to get into a country with a visa and show it here, but I need a passport to come into to cross this threshold. And Chat says, "It says, I am who I say I am, and I am allowed to be there. I'm allowed to be there. I am who I say I am." That's powerful, right? I am. Let me hear you say, "I am who I say I am. I am who I say I am." So that's what saying. Now, in dreams, Chat says, passports almost never mean travel. They mean spiritual authority, vocational legitimacy, recognized identity, especially public or institutional recognition. Reverend Sylvia's psyche chose the strongest symbol possible for who am I in the eyes of the system? Who am I in the eyes of the system? That's the passport. Then it goes on to interpret the border and country trying to enter in. And he says, this, Chat says, I said he, she, whatever, Chat, it, says that this is a threshold space, neither here nor there. I don't know if you've ever traveled out of the country, but you are in that space when you're trying to get in. You're not quite there because you got to go through customs, right? You have to pass through. And you just left that country, so you can't get back there. You could be in a state where you're trying to figure out where you belong. So this border, being at the border of something, is a threshold. But it's neither here nor there. You're standing on the border. And then it says, in spirit U terms, and I guess that must be Spirit University terms, this is the customs hall of reality. So you're waiting in the customs hall, all right? I'm in the customs hall of waiting. It's entering a new phase, crossing into a new role, being assessed by an authority that decides yes or no. So this is symbolizing entering into a new phase, but you're not quite there and you're not quite here, but you're in a new phase. You're trying to cross into a new role, being assessed by an authority that decides, because who's the authority? The customs people, right? You got to present and they say, yes, you can get in or no, whatever. But I was kind of stuck, what? In between, right? So important, but so yes, and he's the Jack says important. Note this: she's not denied entry; she is redirected. Because when I went to the first person, handed my passport, he said, "What I had to go to what another line, line six, where that lady was." So Chad says, "Go to another line, line six." Lines are sorting mechanisms. And they are how institutions characterize souls. Line six is fascinating. Line six, six is not random, it says. Six is service, responsibility, vocation. Six is the number that represents caretakers, ministers, and teachers. It also symbolizes harmony, order, and moral duty. So she is being sent to the service or to a calling or the responsibility line, not the Taurus line. So I got redirected to what? Line six. Now, Chad says, that's actually an affirmation, but with a catch. He's now interpreting the lady who takes the passport. This figure is the heart of the dream. She accepts the passport without challenge. She nods, which is recognition, packs it away, and then disappears. And Chad says, this is identity sequestration. And I didn't really look up that meaning because I, you know, didn't have time, but it's focusing on identity. So Chad says, symbolically, your legitimacy has been taken into custody by an unseen authority. When I gave that passport and that lady took my passport and disappeared or whatever, right? My legitimacy has been taken into custody by an unseen authority. But she doesn't reject Sylvia. She doesn't stamp me in nor deny anything. She simply removes the document that proves who Sylvia is and vanishes. She said, this is far more unsettling than refusal. Because again, I'm where? In between. I'm like, okay. So then it interprets back again to what lady? I never told you about any lady. So it says, now we cross into gaslighting territory. But metaphysical gaslighting. So I like it. If you're going to be gaslit, do some metaphysical gaslighting. So Chad says there are two layers are happening simultaneously. One is institutional amnesia. No one will acknowledge the authority that removed her identity. This mirrors systems where decisions are made, but no one takes responsibility. So that's institutional amnesia. The second thing that might be taking place is what they call ontological erasure. And ontological is just really, it's biblical, religious, whatever, right? And so not only is the passport gone, but the agent who took it is denied existence. And that's the legitimate nightmare. So part of it is an affirmation, and then part of it is the nightmare part. And Chad says, your status has been altered, but there's no record that it ever happened. And then the statement that I made, I have no papers. So Chad says, this is the emotional truth of the dream. Without papers, she's undocumented, unverified, vulnerable. Unable to proceed or return. Spirituality, this could mean a fear of being stripped of recognized authority while still being called to serve. That's a brutal tension. Why did she wake up panicked? And it said, because the dream hit a deep identity nerve. Am I still authorized to cross thresholds? Does the world still recognize who I am? What if the structures that once affirmed me quietly withdrew that recognition? Her body reacted, because I told you, when I got up, I was just unnerved and unsettled. And I did. I got out of bed, looked for my passport, checked the date, and said, okay, it's still there. I'm legal. But it said her body reacted because the dream wasn't abstract. It was existential. The deeper meaning, the real message. This dream is not predicting loss. It is revealing a transition. She is moving from authority granted by systems to authority held in essence. The dream shows the old mechanism, passports and officials, no longer functioning reliably. But notice what doesn't happen. She is not expelled. She is not arrested. She is not told that she doesn't belong. She is left standing without external validation, which is terrifying and initiatory. The initiation layer. Chat says this is a threshold dream of someone whose role is evolving beyond institutional containers. In plain terms, who are you when the paperwork disappears? And then Chat says, that's not punishment, that's calling. One final gentle question, optional but telling. Now Chat is interacting with Eleanor. And it says, when you ask her, when you think of Reverend Sylvia right now, does she feel more constrained by systems or more ready to step beyond them? Because this dream suggests her soul already knows the answer. So, my soul already knows the answer. And when I read this whole interpretation, I just had to go, wow. Because there were some things that I have been pondering and working with that I've told only a very few people. But this dream was so on point, right on point. This June 2026, will mark my 40th year as a minister. 40. I graduated from Unity School of Christianity June 1986. 40 years. And 35 of those years, I have been blessed to be the senior minister of Unity of Washington, D.C. for 35 years. But what I want you to know is that spiritually, 40 represents a time of completion. That's what it means. 40 days, 40 nights, Jesus was in the wilderness. And when that was completed, he stepped into his role. Right? The Israelites wandered in the desert for what? 40 years. And after that, they were able to move where? Into the promised land. It's a time of spiritual completion. So, beloved ones, I want to share with you that as the end of June of this year, I will be stepping down as Minister of Unity of Washington, D.C. I've always said that I would know when the time was right and when it was time, and the time has come. I won't go into the event that helped me to see that it was time, but I'll just say this. I was in my car after a really disturbing situation had happened. And as I was leaving, I said, as I was walking to my car, I can't do this anymore. So I walked to the car and I sat down to try to calm myself before I began to drive, because it was just, again, another event that was disturbing to my spirit. And then out of the blue, I heard myself say, I'm done. And when I heard those words, I was sort of looking around like, who said that? And then I went, oh, I'm done. And I proceeded to sit with that. And in that car, when I said, oh, when the realization hit me, oh, I'm done, a peace came over me. And all that had happened had just faded away, and I was sitting there in pure peace because I knew that the time had come. I have served. I think I've given my heart and my soul to this ministry and to this work. But there comes a time when things are complete. And I always said I would know, and I do know, because there's peace about it. Now, we have until June, so there's some time to put things in order. And I want people to feel that this is a good time, because this is an opportunity, you know, for this church to now step into its next level of greatness, to select that next person who's going to be able to take you further, to venture into the upward, onward call of this ministry. I hope that I've laid a foundation upon which the next person can stand on, and you, the congregants of this wonderful ministry, you truth tellers, you light bearers, you manifestation people, magical manifestors, you are ready for this. You are able for this. And will it be a change? Yes. It's going to be a change for me. Right? Because every Sunday that the Lord sent for 40 years, I tried to make sure I knew where I was supposed to be, doing what I was called to do. And so it will be a great change. And whoever follows me will come into a new environment. My prayer is that you will stay the course. Change is afoot, but it doesn't mean it's bad. Change can be exciting. Change is happening on the planet, and it's happening in our lives, and it's happening, you know, in this church. I know that it's going to be interesting and exciting because it's your next level of greatness. You are equipped. This church is equipped. The people are equipped. Remember, Rumi said, when you look around and everything looks dark, look again, because you just may be the light. You are the light. When I first came here from Unity School of Christianity in Missouri, I was leaving my position there, and everybody knew I was coming here to D.C., and I knew that somehow my mission was to be a light bearer in this area. The light must shine. You all are going to continue to bring this light in an exciting way, in a new way, because everything is changing. This church is going to be wonderfully equipped to bring about the next level of souls who are seeking light. You know, to each one, teach one, bring about the next level of light bearers and light teachers and moving forward. So as we move forward, yes, we're all standing on the threshold, but we're on the threshold of our next level of greatness. God has equipped you. You've got infinite potential, individually and collectively as a church. So we're going to have plenty of time to celebrate and to acknowledge and to prepare. And I'm going to ask our wonderful board president, who is our choir member, to come on down, and for him to share a few things about how we'll proceed in this wonderful time. But it's an exciting time. It's a good thing. I get time to play and enjoy. You know, I can go to Sedona whenever I want to. It gives me time to heal, and I still need time to heal and do my own inner work, work on my body. Heal this body, and you know, and take myself to a level of where I want to be physically, because it's a lot for me to still be in treatment, taking care of the church, taking care of me, taking care of mom. And Spirit said it's time to focus on me, and so I'm like, I'm ready, and I'm excited. So, Floyd.